Hello, everybody. You're listening to Osho Radio. We have for you a new program with wonderful music and a discourse by Osho.
आपके पावन चरण में खिल उठी है बंदगी आपके पावन चरण
In the discourse today, somebody is asking Osho why she is so intolerant of other people's religions. As Osho explains, we are all intolerant of other people's religions or ideas. We've all been brought up believing that our religion, our ideas are the only right ones. If you may think this discourse is about somebody else and not you, we are all carrying the same prejudices. Only if you drop them, you can be really free and can you discover what it means to be a human being, to love, to be compassionate, and to feel connected with every living being on this planet.
The fourth question, Bhagwan, why I cannot tolerate people who belong to other religions. It is because of your upbringing. You have been brought up as a fascist, as a fanatic, as Christians, Hindus, Jainas, Mohammedans. You have not been brought up as human beings. You are hypnotized from your very childhood. You are living in a kind of hypnosis. To live as a Christian or a Mohammedan is to live in a hypnosis, is not to live really. That's why you cannot tolerate people who belong to other religions. Because deep down you know they are wrong. They are stupid. They are committing a great crime. They have to be put right. They have to be brought under your flag, in your flock, because only Jesus saves, or only Buddha saves. You cannot tolerate them because they look pretenders to a Christian. A Buddhist is a pretender, because God has only one son. It is very strange why God should have only one son. Is he in favor of birth control? But Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and the Buddhists claim that Buddha has arrived, that he has attained. It becomes intolerable, the very idea. It creates suspicion in you. It creates doubt. Maybe the Buddhists are right. And you don't want to see this doubt inside yourself, because doubt is heavy, and doubt disturbs your peace, and doubt disturbs your sleep. Hence you would not like to read the Buddhist scriptures. You would not like to read Quran. You would not like to read Mahavira, because their words can be dangerous. Or even if you read, you will read them as ordinary books, because there is only one holy book, the Bible, or only one holy book, the Quran. Your book is the only holy book, and all other books are unholy. There are many things involved into this attitude, and this is not only your attitude. This is the attitude of the greater masses. It is good that you have become aware of it. You ask me why I cannot tolerate people who belong to other religions. First, they create doubt in you. They create suspicion, skepticism about your own beliefs. And you are so settled with your beliefs. They are so consoling. They are like tranquilizers. And the person who lives in a different way, behaves in a different way, worships a different God, meditates in a different way, prays in a different way, certainly creates doubt. Maybe he is right. Who knows? Certainly you don't know. Whatsoever has been told to you has been told by others. It is not your own knowing. So you don't have any trust in it. You have repressed your doubts deep down inside yourself. those doubts are alive, very much alive. They are ready to explode any moment, any opportunity for them, and they will surface. The people of other religions become an opportunity for the doubts to surface. In Jaina scriptures it is written that if you are on a road being followed by a mad elephant and you come across a Hindu temple, you can enter the temple and save your life, but it is better not to enter the temple and be crushed underneath the elephant, be killed by the elephant, but not to enter into the Hindu temple even to save your life. It is better to be killed. But remain a Jaina, then heaven is absolutely guaranteed. And the same, exactly the same is written in Hindu scriptures too, for the Jainas that don't enter a Jaina temple. It is better to die, be killed by a mad elephant, rather than to be saved going inside a Jaina temple. Why? Because the Jaina priest may be saying something there, you may hear something that may disturb you, may create doubt inside you. And doubt is dangerous, the door to hell. Belief is the door to heaven. The people who are not like you, not only religiously, but people who dress differently than you, even they are not liked. That's why my disciples are disliked by the so-called Indian society. The reason is not that you are doing anything wrong. The reason is simply that you are different, and that is the problem. Nobody likes the different person. People like that you should be like them, exactly like them, dress like them, behave like them, use the same language. Go to the same temple and then you are accepted because you don't create doubt. Now my disciples are bound to create doubt. My sannyasins are bound to create doubt. They are behaving in a totally different way. They are behaving with freedom. And the slaves are bound to get disturbed. Slaves of tradition, slaves of orthodoxies, they are bound to get disturbed. Just seeing a young man and a young woman holding hands, walking together, and it is enough to disturb the Hindu mind. It has repressed so much that all that repression starts coming up. They also would like to walk hand in hand with their beloveds, but they cannot. If they cannot, then they cannot allow anybody else to do the same. In the West, if you are walking hand in hand with a woman, no problem arises. Because the society is also the same. But walk hand in hand with a man, two men walking hand in hand, and people start looking at you, something is wrong. You look homosexual, you look gay, It is dangerous. Now, homosexuals have been one of the tortured minorities in the world. Very much tortured. In some countries, they are killed. In some countries, for example, Iran, if it is found that two persons are living as homosexuals or lesbians, then the only punishment is death. Now what nonsense! They have not committed any crime against anybody. They have not harmed anybody. Two men living together, this should be nobody else's business. Are two women living together? But a great fear of homosexuality. And the reason is that homosexuality has been repressed down the ages. In fact, in every person homosexuality is repressed. Because there are four stages. First, the child is autoerotic. Then the child becomes homosexual. Then the child becomes heterosexual. And the fourth and the ultimate state is of brahmacharya. The person goes beyond sex. Each child passes the stage of homosexuality. If he passes naturally, there will be no repression. But because it is not allowed to pass naturally, repression happens. Then a hangover remains. Now these people who kill homosexuals are really homosexuals themselves. Repressed homosexuals. They cannot tolerate. It is about everything. You cannot see things that you are doing. For example, in India, just the other day, somebody had asked that I was saying goodbye to my girlfriend. We hugged and kissed and we were caught by the police. And it took 2 hours for us somehow to manage to get out of the trouble. They were going to put us in jail. And they were trying to put us into the court, a case. Now, kissing in a public place. The questioner has asked, and I see Indians pissing in the public place and nobody objects. Kissing is objectionable, pissing is not. You don't know this country belongs to people like Morarji Desai. Pissing is a holy act. If you are pissing in a public place, you are doing something great. You are making the earth holy. It is not urine, it is water of life. In India, you can piss in a public place, you can go on and defecate anywhere. The whole country is a latrine. But that is allowed. Nobody takes any note of it. Only Westerners, when they come to India, they note it. They immediately note what is happening. Just coming from Santa Cruz Airport to Bombay, the whole way on both the sides, people are defecating. But no Indian takes any note of it. We only see things which are not accepted by us. We see only things which are strange. The Indian has lived in the same way for centuries. He is not taking any note. It is just the natural way. No question arises in his mind. You see the beggars on the street, all Westerners go on writing letters to me that we feel very much disturbed. And no Indian seems to be disturbed at all. What is the matter? The Indians accept the beggars. That is accepted. They are suffering from their past karmas. Nobody else is responsible for it. A beautiful strategy, a defense they have created into this theory that everybody has to suffer according to his past lives. These people must have done something wrong, something really ugly. Now they are suffering. Everybody has to pay for it. So no question of compassion. In fact, you will be surprised to know that there is a Jaina sect, Therapanth, in India, whose head is Acharya Tulsi. This sect believes that don't help the beggar, because by helping the beggar, you will be disturbing his life pattern. If you help him, then he will have to suffer some time other. He has to suffer. If a man has fallen in the well, don't take him out. Because if you take him out, he will fall into another well someday. So what is the point? Let him suffer and let him be finished with the karma. So he is free from it. One thing, and secondly, if you save this man from the well, you take him out and he goes and kills somebody, then you are also responsible for the murderer. If you had not taken him out of the well, he would not have committed the murder. So 50-50. Then beware. In some other life you will have to suffer also. You will have to fall in some well, maybe not so deep. So on two grounds, Acharya Tulsi and his sect teaches that don't help anybody. And if you look, the logic is there. If the theory of karma is right, then Acharya Tulsi's conclusion is very logical. The logical conclusion cannot be doubted. But the theory itself is an invention. You don't suffer for your karmas in your next lives. Life is immediate. If you put your hand in the fire, you will be burnt right now, not in your next life. Each karma is immediately finished. You immediately suffer, or you immediately enjoy the bliss. But there is no waiting. The whole theory is nonsense. To try to postpone for other lives is a strategy. Political, social. Indians can accept the beggars, but they cannot accept a couple kissing goodbye. But why you should be so much worried? If kissing is something bad, they may be suffering from their past karmas. Let them suffer. Why you should interfere? But interference is there because you are sexually suppressed. Indian society is very much sexually suppressed. It cannot accept people who are sexually free. it is not only a question of religion. It is a question of everything. The different person creates doubt. The different person creates suspicion. What you are doing is right or wrong. You want to destroy the different person so that you can suppress your doubt again. One thing. Secondly, a person belonging to a different religion hurts your ego. You would like your religion to be the supreme most, the only religion. It hurts your ego that there are other religions also claiming the same supremacy. You have a double-bind mind. For yourself you think in one way, for others in a totally different way. If you claim your Bible to be the holy book, you don't allow Mohammedans to claim their book to be the holy book. And the Mohammedans don't allow the Hindus to call their Vedas the holy book. And the people who believe in the Vedas, the Hindus, they laugh at the nonsense of calling Quran or Bible the holy books. The Vedas is the only holy book. Because the Vedas are written by God Himself. All other books are written by human beings. Maybe they contain something good, but written by human beings, they are bound to be fallible. Vedas are infallible. This is the way of the ego. For your own, you have a different valuation. For the others, different valuations. You don't measure on the same weighing machine. It is always doing it in every dimension of life. And let me repeat again. Each religion creates fascism in you. Each religion creates Adolf Hitler's. Because of this idea that my way is the only right way. And when you are a fascist and when you are a fanatic, you are murderous. You may not murder, but deep down, you are murderous. You may not murder anybody, but one thing is certain, you will murder your qualities of love and compassion and brotherhood. A group of young men, all Irish Catholics, go into a pub. They don't greet Abby, one of the men already standing at the bar. Paddy, one of the young Irish fellows, asks his friends why they don't greet Abby. He is a Jew, they say, and Jews are awful people. They killed our Lord Jesus Christ. Paddy is very upset to hear this and goes over to Abby and starts beating him up. "Stop, stop," shouts Abby. "What are you doing this for?" "I am doing it because Jews tortured Jesus and killed him." "Yes, I know," said Abby, "but it has nothing to do with me." "That happened 2,000 years ago." Paddy gives him another blow and says, "I don't care. I only heard it 10 minutes ago." I don't want you to be tolerant of other religions. Mahatma Gandhi used to teach people, be tolerant of other religions. But if you become tolerant of other religions, that simply means intolerance persists underground. I don't teach tolerance. Tolerance is ugly. It is better to be knowingly intolerant. At least the disease is on the surface, and sooner or later you will become aware of it. If you become tolerant, as Gandhians have become tolerant, then the disease goes deep in the unconscious. On the surface you are very polite, sweet, and you say good things. That Bible and Gita, they say the same thing. Allah Ishwar Tere Naam Sabko Sanmati De Bhagwan. All are the names of the same God. And let God give understanding to all. You go on saying these things, but deep down, it is not so. Mahatma Gandhi, his whole life, prayed morning and evening, saying that Allah and Ram are the names of the same God. But when he was sought in Delhi by a Poonaite, remember, beware of the Poonaites. The men who murdered Gandhi, Nathuram Godse, was a Poonaite. Poona is one of the strongholds of Hindu orthodoxies. I have knowingly chosen a place to create trouble for you. When Gandhi was shot dead, he didn't say Allah. The last words were Ram. Hey Ram. Oh Ram. He forgot all about Allah. Whole life. But still deep down he knows that he is a Hindu. Gita, he calls, is his mother. And who is his father? Quran? That he never says anything about. Gita is his mother. But Quran is not his father. And he chooses from Quran words which are really nothing but echoes of Gita. And he chooses from the Bible also words which are echoes from Gita. He is really clinging to Gita. Gita is the criterion. Whatsoever is in Gita is right. If it is in Quran, then too it is right, because it is in the Gita. He leaves everything that goes against Gita. This is tolerance. I don't teach tolerance. I teach freedom from all nonsense of being Hindu, Mohammedan, Christian. Be free from all prejudices. Be just a human being. And in that freedom, you will find great joy. And in that freedom, for the first time, you will feel love for other human beings, compassion, brotherhood. You will start feeling the whole universe as your family, your commune. And not only with human beings. When the fascist in you has disappeared and the fanatic is gone, even with trees and the birds and the animals, you will have a communion. You will be constantly in a beautiful dialogue with existence. Drop all this nonsense. To be a Hindu, to be a Mohammedan, to be a Christian, to be a Jaina, to be a Buddhist, these are stupid hangovers of the past. Be finished with them. and in a single blow, not slowly, not gradually, see the point and be finished with them right now, this very moment. Because who knows, tomorrow may come, may not come. Who knows, the next moment may come, may not come. This is the only moment available. Rebel against all nonsense. Be free. Enough for today. Thank you.
С Новым годом, мой маленький друг, я знаю, ты слышишь меня, где бы ты ни был сейчас. Я хочу пожелать спокойствия глубине твоих глаз. Пусть в новом году тебе будет светло, даже когда погаснут все фонари и сядет солнце, солнце твоей детской любви. С Новым годом, мой маленький принц, я хочу тебе еще пожелать. В ходе жизни кажется сном. Неважно, сколько будут внушать, не жить одним лишь умом. Пусть в новом году тебе будет тепло, даже когда закончится нефть. Ведь твое сердце будет пылать и вселенную греть. С Новым годом, мой маленький враг, я желаю тебе суметь не сбиться с пути. Даже если громкая жизнь и тихая смерть будут твою воду мутить, пусть в новом году тебя озарит свет изнутри, так что утратит весь смысл шелест червонцев, рокот моторов и стук коромысл. Никому не говори, что дни льда плавят стекло. Зачем им это знать? Пусть думаю дальше, что не повезло. Весною вечной дышать, но пусть в новом году им тоже будет светло, даже когда погаснут все фонари. Ведь зайдет солнце, солнце твоей взрослой любви. Светло, даже когда погаснут все фонари, ведь зайдет солнце, солнце твоей вечной любви.
This was Osho Radio for today. Before the discourse, you listened to music from the world of Osho from the CD Garden of the Beloved. You listened to Anandricha and to Shastro. After the discourse, there was music by Nandin, Atmoravi, and the last song today is from Raji. Goodbye, everybody. Have a good time, take care, and stay tuned to Osho Radio. Namaste.
You only ask me to be myself. You give me total freedom. told